Beginning of the end? Ukraine's frontline soldiers eye Russia talks with hope, date modified colon 2025-05-14T21:0937.367Z, description colon there is cautious optimism in eastern Ukraine as talks are set to take place in Istanbul, dot. Beginning of the end? Ukraine's frontline soldiers eye Russia talks with hope, May 14, 2025, save, Yogita Lime BBC News reporting from eastern Ukraine, save, BBC, some soldiers like Kozak believe too many people have been killed to hand over land to Russia, big plumes of smoke are visible on a screen that's providing a live feed from Ukrainian drones hovering over the outskirts of the eastern city of Pokrovsk, one of the most intense front lines in Ukraine. A few seconds earlier, Ukrainian artillery strikes Russian positions, places where we'd seen Russian soldiers moving about as they try to advance towards a key road going into Pokrovsk. At least one Russian soldier is injured, possibly dead after the strike. It's chilling to watch the live footage. It drives home the bloody consequences of the war that Russia started, in which hundreds of thousands have so far been killed. A never-ending bloodbath, as U.S. President Donald Trump calls it. We are in a rural house converted into a command center for the 155th Mechanized Brigade of the Ukrainian Army. It's a few miles from frontline artillery positions. The scale of the devastation that we see on the screens, homes and buildings completely flattened, is far greater than what we saw 6 months ago. It is evidence of the fierce battle that has been fought over the past several months to defend Pokrovsk, a crucial transport hub in the Donetsk region. This week, there's cautious optimism, even among skeptical soldiers who have witnessed hopes of a ceasefire being dashed over and over again, as diplomatic efforts from the US, Europe, Turkey and others have pushed Russia and Ukraine to direct talks for the first time in 3 years. I think something should happen since Russia was the first one to push for these talks. I mean, since 2022, they have refused to go into any contact, says an officer who wants to be referred to with his call sign Kozak. I want to believe this would be the beginning of the end of the war. But now I see, we have been successful in destroying their rear positions and their supply lines. Russia does not have the same strength and power it had at the beginning. So I think that something will happen. Yuri R. does not believe Russia will stop if Ukraine gives up territory now. Yuri, 37, used to work in a technology company before Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. They, Russia and Ukraine, have to start talking. Us soldiers, we wish this war would end. But it's important to remember that we cannot stop it because we did not start it, he says. He looks up at the screen and spots Russian soldiers moving again. He and his colleagues calculate the coordinates of their positions and pass them on to their artillery unit. Watch, BBC's Yogita Lime joins Ukrainian soldiers on the front line. We drive from the command center to the artillery position, on mud tracks running through a wide expanse of open fields. Clumps of mud fly in the air, our car slips and slides, as we move as fast as possible. The speed is a mitigation against strikes from drones, which have sharply increased fatalities for both Russia and Ukraine since they were deployed in large numbers in 2023. And war technology keeps evolving. Now there's a new threat: drones equipped with a real fiber optic cable which unrolls as they fly. We cannot detect them or neutralize them, so there are probably a lot more drones in the area right now than we know, says Yuri. As we drive into the artillery position hidden under trees and bushes, soldiers are already loading the gun. It's a French-made self-propelled artillery gun called the Caesar. Scores have been deployed in Ukraine since the start of the war, and France has been trying to ramp up production. France has been sending dozens of Caesar self-propelled artillery guns to Ukraine since 2022. I'm very impressed by its accuracy, and we can use a large range of ammunition. The most important thing is that bringing it into combat is very fast. It is much more effective than the old Soviet equipment I've used, says Kozak. Ukrainian soldiers fire 4 rounds, each one emitting a deafening sound. From around us, we also hear the sound of incoming shells. The battle rages on. As you can hear, there is a wave of assaults from the enemy and we need a lot of ammunition to suppress that. We hope our international partners can give us as much ammunition as possible, because if we have to start choosing priority and non-priority targets then the enemy will be successful, says Kozak. We ask the soldiers how they feel about suggestions that Ukraine will have to make concessions, that it might have to give up land to secure peace. It's painful to hear that. Even I want to go home to my family. My daughter is 8 and I miss her so much. But we need to be strong. I don't believe that if we give up some territory, they will stop. In a couple of years, they will return and start over, says Yuri E. A person who has not come here, who hasn't felt the consequences of Russian aggression, those armchair commentators say you can give up land and everything will be over. They will never understand how many brothers and friends we have lost. We shouldn't give up a single meter of our land, says Kozak. The impact of 3 years of war can be seen everywhere across Ukraine. The cost Ukraine has paid to defend its land is visible everywhere, most acutely in the photos of smiling, young soldiers posted by the side of highways, on memorial walls in central city squares, and on rows and rows of freshly dug graves in the country. Yana Melnikova lovingly buys her son's favorite treats, a cup of steaming hot chocolate and a chocolate roll. Then she drives out to a cemetery in the southern city of Zaporizhia, and places them neatly by 22-year-old Vladislav's grave. She and her daughter, 13-year-old Nicole, wipe the grave with wet tissues. Before long, they break down inconsolably into each other's arms. Vladislav was a drone operator with the Ukrainian military. He was killed in combat in a Russian strike on February 21 this year. For Yana, news of direct talks resuming bring no hope. It seems to me that this war is eternal. Of course, I hope they will find a solution. Because people are dying here and there, in Russia. But Putin is greedy. His hunger for our land is insatiable, says Yana. Yana, whose son was killed earlier this year, says she cannot live in land taken over by Russia. Parts of the Zaporizhia region are currently occupied by Russia, the front line less than 40 miles from the city. But Russia has on more than one occasion demanded control of the full regions of Zaporizhia, Luhansk, Donetsk, and Kherson as part of any peace deal. No way. I want to live in Ukraine, not Russia. We have seen what they do under occupation, what they did in places like Bucha, their cruelty and torture, says Yana. Can you imagine, they've not even spared this graveyard, she adds, pointing to a big crater nearby where a bomb exploded some months ago. Tears rolling down her eyes, she adds, I hope my child did not die for nothing. That there will still be a victory and all of Ukraine will become free. Additional reporting by Imogen Anderson, Volodymyr Lozko, Anastasia Levchenko, Sanjay Ganguly, Go Back to Ukraine, War Refugees Complain of Abuse in Poland, Ukraine in Maps, Tracking the War with Russia, Why Zelensky Can't and Won't Give Up Crimea, War in Ukraine.